Covenant Bible Presbyterian Church. We worship the Lord every Lord's Day, and we thank God even in these difficult times. The Lord has provided such a provision, opportunity, that we worship Him. As I mentioned earlier, we begin a new series from today onwards called Lessons from the Heroes of Faith in the Bible. Lessons from the Heroes of Faith in the Bible. When we look into Hebrews chapter 11, we have a long list of heroes of faith. People who have trusted God, feared God, endeavored things for God, experienced God, and in their difficult times they did not give up. They persevered, and until the Lord called them home, they left behind a wonderful legacy, a blessed testimony of God's faithfulness in their lives. Their legacy is a great encouragement for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ over the centuries. We thank God for their records. We thank God for their faithful lives. As a church, can we neglect those wonderful examples, and particularly times like this, when we, the entire world, go through such a difficult time? Yesterday I was reading a newspaper, or reading somewhere, that 4 billion people are in lockdown. 4 billion people. That is 400 crores. The whole population of the world is only 6 billion. Out of 6 billion, 4 billion people are in lockdown. They are quarantined. Unprecedented times. But we thank God in such situations, we have great encouragements. People in the past have gone through experiences like this, or even worse experiences than this. But the Lord has been their refuge and strength. They persevered. We want to study through their lives. Lessons from the heroes of faith in the Bible. Today, I want to particularly look into Abel's life, and that is where Hebrews chapter 11 begins. In those long list of heroes of faith, Abel's name comes first. We will try to follow the list in Hebrews 11 quite closely, but here and there I will add a few more names so that we can, as much as possible, study through not only what the inspired writer mentioned in Hebrews 11, we can have a little bit more an elaborate list of the heroes of faith. But today we're going to begin with what the author of Hebrews mentioned, Abel's faith and true worship. That's how I have entitled the message this morning. Abel's faith and true worship. What is true worship that is acceptable to God? What is true worship that is acceptable to God? Now, let me just explain it. True worship is a believer or a child of God expressing his or her gratitude or thankfulness to God. True worship is a Christian's gratitude to God. Christian expresses his thankfulness, his gratitude to God. That is true worship. Thankful for what? Thankful for salvation. Thankful for the great Redeemer that God sent, as we have been meditating during the Passion Week. God prepared wonderful gospel plan, the good news for us, that these sinful people could be saved by the divine plan. So God has saved us through His divine plan, that He sent forth His only begotten Son, who gave His life, who saved us. Jesus clothed us with His righteousness. That's the heart of the gospel I have been explaining to you, please remember. So we are thankful to God for that. And then He has been preserving us every day by His mercies. So we express our gratitude unto God. That is worship. As our gratitude, as the expression of our gratitude, we offer ourselves unto Him. We offer gifts, kinds. This morning we had the time for offering. We offer kinds from the substance the Lord has blessed us with. As a gratitude unto God. That is part of worship. Now I want to, from Abel's life, I want to take this thought a little bit more forward. How does one offer true worship to God? How does one offer true worship to God? Abel's life was all about offering true worship to God. He offered a worship in righteous faith that was acceptable to God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, when the author of Hebrews presents the long list of heroes of faith, he begins like this. Hebrews 11, 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, that by it he being dead yet speaks. The author of Hebrews says, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice unto God. And that made him to be counted along with the great spectrum, the great list of the heroes of faith. Now, what was that special in Abel's life? What was that special God saw in Abel's life that he could declare that his sacrifice was more excellent than his brother Cain's sacrifice? We have the details in that portion that we read this morning. So I request you to keep your Bibles open. Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Verses 1 to 7, that was our scripture reading that we read. But I want to look into some specific verses here as God explains the very speciality that He could see in the life of Abel. I have 3 points this morning to bring out from Abel's life why God counted Abel's worship was something so special that made him to be counted along with the heroes of faith. 4 points. Number one, pattern in worship. Pattern in worship. Take a look into Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 onwards. And she again bare his brother, that is Eve, gave birth to Cain, verse 1, and then gave birth to Abel, chapter 2. And she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. The Lord gave both of them, both Cain and Abel, possessions they inherited from their parents, and they came to know that they have to honor the Lord. And this is the time that, according to God's instruction, they bring an offering before God. Both Cain and Abel brought offering unto the Lord. Now, how did they know that they have to bring an offering before the Lord? In verse 3, it was mentioned, and in process of time, it came to pass. The phrase there, in process of time, literally means at the end of days. At the end of days. In other words, it was a custom. Adam and Eve, God told them that since I am your creator, I am your God, I am the one who brought you into this world, and I was the one who made the covenant with you. I am your God. You have to honor me with offerings. Adam and Eve passed on that knowledge to Cain and Abel. So it was a custom. In the process of time, means according to the established tradition, according to the custom, they brought offering unto the Lord. Now we see all through the Bible worship. We see all through the Bible offerings. This has been a custom, this has been a tradition established, that people, God's people, bringing offering unto the Lord and worshipping the Lord. In the Old Testament, we know it was the Sabbath. On the Sabbath day, people particularly they set aside from all their worldly engagements, they worshipped the Lord. And in the New Testament, we see the Lord's Day as the day of worship, as the day that when we come together and we bring offering unto the Lord, and we sing together, we worship the Lord together, we praise the name of the Lord, we serve the Lord together. So it was an established custom, it was an established pattern all through the biblical tradition, the biblical history that we see. And that custom, that tradition was followed by the Lord Jesus Christ and his apostles. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and it was told of Jesus Christ, when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, it was a custom that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up and he read the Torah, the scripture to the people. Jesus honored the established pattern of honoring the Sabbath day. And then when we come to Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we read the testimony of the apostles. And upon the first day of the week, remember, from the Sabbath day was the last day of the week, that was for the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it was the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. And that was the Lord's Day because that was the day wherein the Lord rose from the dead. Last Lord's Day, we remembered that. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. All the disciples came together. Wherever they traveled for mission journey, or when they remembered On the Lord's day, the first day of the week, they gathered together. And when they gathered together, you know what did they do? They break bread. It's a mark of fellowship together, remembering what the Lord has done for them. And they took time to preach. Paul preached unto them in that verse, particularly mentioned. And they encouraged one another. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, we have the testimony of Apostle John. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me the great voice of as of a trumpet. The great revelation that he received in the book of Revelation recorded for us, it happened on the Lord's day when Apostle John was in the island of Patmos. He remembered the Lord's day wherein his master resurrected, and he wanted to worship the Lord, and there he got that great revelation. So all through the history of the church, whether we are in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, it was a tradition. And that tradition started from the very beginning of Adam and Eve, followed by Cain and Abel. That in the process of set time, it came to pass. So a day was appointed. A time was set for people to gather together, to worship God, to bring offering unto the Lord. And that's why Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we were called by the author of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 25, we read, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more, as you see the day approaching. The author of Hebrews calls upon the New Testament church for what? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh, it was a set pattern in the Old Testament and the New Testament. God's people who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb must gather together on a set time, at a set place. Now, many people ask me over the years, Pastor, should I come to church for worship? Should I come to church only on, and particularly on the Lord's Day, Sunday, to worship? By the way, worship, personal worship, we can do anytime, anywhere. There's no restriction. But there is also a place for corporate worship. And what we are discussing here is the corporate worship. We come together. What was the need of the temple that was built in the Old Testament? The nation of Israel need to gather together for corporate worship. What was the need for synagogues to be built in the Old Testament system? City after city, place after place. Synagogues means to gather together. Synagogue, come together to worship God, to remember His faithfulness as a community together. So Sunday is not a time for Christians to stay back at home and do their nominal things, the normal things. Sunday is a time, according to the biblical injunction, is a set time, it's a set practice biblically, it's a set practice divinely for us to come together to worship, to praise, to remember God's salvation. And as a people of thankfulness, as people of God, we express our thankfulness, we express our gratitude before God. We worship Him. We worship Him. A pattern in worship. A pattern in worship. Now from this we understand it is an imperative. As we see from the very beginning of Christianity, or very beginning of the Old Testament system, Cain and Abel remembered. They remembered a set time was there that God needed to be worshipped. So it is an imperative for Christians, my dear brothers and sisters, to gather together in the house of the Lord on a Lord's day, and we worship Him, we serve Him. So from this we move on. So it was a practice for Cain and Abel. And take a look in the verse 4, and Abel he also brought to worship the Lord. It was a set system there, and they followed that pattern. Now, from the pattern, we now move on. Something very specifically we see in Abel's life, Abel's faith, a plan in worship. There was a definite plan. When they knew the instruction, they understood the instruction passed on to them, they followed. And when they followed, we see difference between Cain and Abel. Verse 4. Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Now the first part of verse 4 I want to highlight here. The plan in worship. Abel brought of the firstlings, that means the firstborn of his flock, and of the fat thereof. In other words, when Abel brought the offering before the Lord, he brought that which is the very best. The firstborn, you know, in the Hebrew tradition, was very important. The firstborn they considered as very special. Many Hebrew families, they offered the firstborn unto the Lord. And here, Abel had a very clear understanding of worship. And then this opportunity was given to him to offer before the Lord. He had a very clear plan and a very clear determination. As he worshipped the Lord, he knew what was the expectation of the Lord. The very firstborn and the very best. And that is the plan of worship. A true and acceptable worship or offering is actually the very reflection of our heart. Abel knew God as Adam and Eve passed on to him the knowledge of God and how the Lord dealt with them in their lives, all their encounters with God. Adam and Eve, faithful parents, passed on to Cain and Abel. But when the opportunity came to practice it, Abel practiced it in the right way. Now, when we talk about Cain, we don't have any description of Cain's offering. We have just the statement, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. That's all. What kind of fruit was that? Nothing of that sort mentioned. So from that we can assume that Cain's offering was just a mere formalism. Means what? He wanted to just follow the custom. It was a custom to worship the Lord, and therefore I just follow that custom. It was a mere tradition that I have to bring an offering, so I just want to do that. I just want to fulfill that custom and tradition, that's all. A mere formalism was followed by Cain, but that was not the story of Abel. Abel's offering, as he brought with a very clear plan, a very clear determination, as he knew this was God's expectation, the firstborn and the best. Abel gave out of a pure, devout heart. And that was what God accepted. He wanted to give the very best. No wonder in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12, it was recorded, Cain, who was of that wicked one, slew his brother, and therefore slew he him. Because of his own whatsoever evil, and his brothers righteous. So there, the inspired writer, Apostle John, explains what was inside the heart of Cain. His heart was very different from the heart of Abel. Cain brought an offering before the Lord just to fulfill a mere practice, but his heart was not there. But Abel, because of his heart, was a transformed heart. He has experienced already in his heart the righteousness of God. He brought an offering that was acceptable to God, and he thanked God for the life of Abel, that God accepted that offering. Now, how do we serve God? How do we worship God? Just out of mere ritualism, out of just mere practice? Oh, my parents go to church in the morning, so I have no choice. I have to go to church. I was talking to a brother, Christian parents, brother and sister, two children. And every Sunday, it was a very hard thing for the parents to bring the second child to the church. The first child, very excited, very enthusiastic. When parents get ready, the first child gets ready and go to church together with the parents. But when it comes to the second child, it was a nightmare for the parents. They have to force and they have to really pull the child along with them to go to church. Unless and until you experience the righteousness of God in your heart, whatever things that we try to do, it would be just for mere ritualism, out of compulsion. But when we come to second part of verse 4, and that's in fact my third point and the final point, pleasing in worship. Pleasing in worship. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering, the Lord had no respect. Very interesting. The Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, because Abel followed the pattern, the plan the Lord has established. And he did so out of his own heart willingly, as he experienced the loving kindness and favor of God. His response to God was actually natural. That's supposed to be. Whereas for Cain, it was very different. Cain just followed it because it was just an external kind of compulsion on him, not from his heart. God was pleased with Abel and his offering. God was pleased with Abel and his offering. And that's what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. The author of Hebrews, we read it earlier in my introduction. Let me just once again read this. The author of Hebrews says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead, yet speaks. Oh, what a wonderful testimony, my dear friends. Why Abel's offering was acceptable to God? Why Abel's worship was pleasing unto God? First, he followed the established pattern. He remembered what to be done. Number two, he followed an acceptable plan. And number three, here we were told, he offered his worship to God by faith. Now, I want you to take just a few more minutes to explain what does it mean by faith, and then I will conclude the message this morning. What way was Abel's offering more excellent? He offered by faith. What does it mean by this faith? Two things. Abel's faith was a believing faith. And Abel's faith was a trusting faith. A believing faith and a trusting faith. His faith was a believing faith means he believed the truth about God's expectation of offering. He believed the truth about God's expectation of offering. What was God's expectation when an offering to be done? Abel perhaps knew what God had already revealed to Adam about worship. Abel perhaps knew that forgiveness of sin could only be done by shedding the blood. So he brought a blood offering. Abel brought a blood offering. He brought an animal, a sheep or a goat, and he brought that unto the Lord, whereas Cain brought from his own, that was mainly since he was an farmer, he brought a fruit unto the Lord. But when an offering to be done, it has to be, of course, fruit offering also acceptable. But in this case, it is more of the kind of understanding that was very much needed, that it has been passed on from the parents, that God expects a sacrifice that is where blood was required. And many commentators believe that, particularly the Reformed commentators believe that God was more pleased with Abel's offering, or God considered Abel's offering as more excellent sacrifice because he offered a blood sacrifice. He brought from his own heart an animal, and that was offered unto the Lord as a form of worship. Perhaps he perceived the significance of the death of an animal, which was provided, which was required when sin is committed. In other words, he knew that worship should be Christ-centric. I think it would be permissible in the understanding of offering and sacrifice in the Old Testament, and the way that the Lord has been revealing things with the people of God, for us to say that Abel had the knowledge when God required worship from him, the best that is, that which is acceptable to God, is a blood offering, and accordingly he did it. So I want to go to the extent and say that perhaps Abel's offering was more pleasing and acceptable unto God because he knew that a Redeemer would come for his sin, for his depravity. A salvation need to be brought unto him, and that salvation would be through the seed of the woman. A Savior would come, and he would shed his blood. And Abel's offering that he brought before the Lord, it was a type, the blood offering that need to be shed through Jesus Christ. In other words, a Christ-centric worship that Abel was able to offer before the Lord. And God considered that Abel did so by faith, as the author of Hebrews says, and before the Lord that was more excellent and acceptable. And secondly, by faith means also his faith was a trusting faith. His faith was a trusting faith. He trusted in God's provision. He trusted in God's mercies in his life. He knew that it was worth for God sacrificing the very best, because his God, his Lord, is a trustworthy God. He owed to him all that he has in his life, because his God is all for him. And therefore it was so exciting for him, bring the very best. Offer unto the Lord the very best. Offer unto the Lord that he could sacrifice something. And the Almighty God accepted. Now, as we come toward the end, toward the conclusion, I want to mention a few things. As we look into Cain and Abel. Cain represented his own self. He brought the fruit of his own labor, his own self, his own effort. He brought in fruit of his own labors. But Abel represented what Christ would do for him, as he perhaps knew that a blood offering was required. He put his whole faith and trust not within himself, not in his own effort, but trusting God, having understood the way in which God works, God saves his people. Accordingly, he brought in, trusting in God. Abel represented what Christ would do for him, not what he wants to do for God. In other words, true worship is not offering our efforts to God, but true worship is expression of our gratitude to God. Take note of this. This is a very important point. True worship is not offering our effort to God, but true worship is the expression of our gratitude to God. True worship is expression of our gratitude to God. He has done me greater things, and therefore I come this morning to worship him. Please remember that we don't come to worship God that we want to do and do and do, and you know, we are so busy. But we come to worship God because God requires us, as he has blessed us with so much in our lives, particularly salvation, particularly his divine mercies. And when we come to worship the Lord, we just serve him. We just put an offering, or whatever we do, it is out of our gratitude. Lord, I am thankful to you. You have forgiven my sin. You have given me righteousness. You have covered me with your righteousness, which I don't deserve. I am a condemned sinner. But I am so grateful, oh God. You have done so much. The gospel is so precious. God forgave our sin, and he saved us. And as a result, we come, we worship. And as we look into Cain's approach and Abel's approach, we see these two different things. Cain represented his own effort. Oh, I have worked so hard. I brought this fruit. Lord, you accept. Whereas Cain came truly, truly trusting in God by faith that I am a sinner. The Lord has to do his thing for me. The Lord would help me. I bring the very best unto the Lord because I owe everything unto God. That was Abel's approach. And thank God, God accepted Abel's offering because that was true and sincere worship. Now, as I conclude my words this morning, I just want to draw your attention toward the last part of their lives. Of course, you know the story. When Cain's offering was rejected, he became so angry and he killed his brother. He killed Abel. Abel was the first Christian martyr. Abel was the first person from this earth to enter to heaven. Abel ended up in the presence of God. But do you know what happened to Cain? The Lord, when Cain was so angry and rebellious against God because his offering was rejected, it was not worth for God to receive, and his heart was wicked and away from God, God rejected. We see the Lord's pronouncement of curse on Cain, verse 12. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. You would be a fugitive and a vagabond. And then you read verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Cain became a wanderer, a vagabond, and he departed from the presence of God, verse 16. And he went to a place called Nod. The word Nod literally means wandering. He became a wanderer when his brother Abel entered into the glorious presence of God. As he served so faithfully God, as he experienced the goodness and mercies of the Lord in his life, and responded unto God with such an offering and worship that was acceptable to God, he entered into the presence of God. The price he had to pay for that was, of course, his own life. Never mind. But he entered into the presence of God. But Cain went away from the presence of God. And he became a wanderer, taking the curse of the Lord upon him. I want to conclude my words this morning, my dear friends. What is true worship? What is a true worship? True worship is following the pattern that God has established. Come every Lord's Day. Make sure you have your personal worship every day with God. But once in a week, the set pattern. Come to the Lord to worship Him. A set pattern is there. Every Lord's Day we come. And secondly, it is a following a right plan. Following God's plan. With a rightful attitude and with a rightful motive. Worship should not be because of the compulsion of anybody. But worship should be from the heart. That since the Lord has blessed me, I want to worship Him. I want to serve Him. And thirdly, a worship should be that which is pleasing unto the Lord. God pleased. For which we need faith. For which we need trust. Lord, you have done great and marvelous things for me in this life. So I offer my life and whatever thing that you have blessed me with, it is yours, O Lord, I offer unto you. That is true and acceptable worship, shall we pray.